Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Very familiar scripture. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's what we felt like reading to you. And our thought is, if I die lost, you heard verse 27, didn't you? As it is appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. Something's going to get each and every one of us. It may be a heart attack. It might be cancer. It might be liver disease. It might be a car accident. It might be a gunshot. It might be a stabbing. But unless we see Jesus coming on the clouds, we have an appointment that we will keep with death. And what happens after that is really up to you right now. And right now is the only time you've got to do anything about it. Because once you die, there's no more opportunity. Your fate, your final destination is forever sealed. And you can't change it. If I die lost, nobody wants to think about dying. And I had this conversation earlier in the week. There's a certain fear in us. My dad, I can't remember him being a sinner. I can't remember a time when he wasn't an officer or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a song leader. You name it, he did it in church. And when it came right down to the final breaths, you could see just a little bit of a fear. He knew where he was going. He had a testimony that he'd been saved by the grace of God. But he was human. And he had just a little bit of fear of the unknown. You see, each and every one of us is going to have to die. But it's what you do now that determines where you are for eternity. You think about dying, and I've had to hold, that's part of being a minister, I've had to hold funerals, and it's a hard thing to do, and you never know what to say. And you want to say something that's a help and a comfort to the family, and a lot of times people will buy flowers, things like that. Most of the time, if it's a church family, or even if it's not a church family, they'll have some sort of music or some sort of song or somebody to sing something at the funeral itself. Friend, if you die lost, there won't be any flowers where you're going. And I'm not talking about this kind right here. I'm talking about those flowers that God has placed in your life.
Yeah.
Those godly people that showed love and compassion and mercy on you, that prayed that the Lord would intervene on your behalf and knock at your heart's door so that you wouldn't die lost. You'll not see them there. If you die lost, you'll not see any of those pretty flowers the Lord's placed in your life anymore, forever. If you die lost,
Someone may sing a song over your carcass at the funeral. And it may be beautiful. You won't hear it. As a matter of fact, you'll miss out on the prettiest song ever sung. It won't be at your funeral. But it'll be when the saints of God. It'll be when the church marches in.
Yeah.
And they sing a song the angels can't sing. I've heard Bobby and his group sing, and they got good harmony, and they sang pretty songs and things like that. They can't even touch the song, the singing that will be on that day of all days when God's children retold what a song will sing. But if you die lost, you'll never hear the prettiest song ever sung. You know what you will hear? You'll hear screaming and crying and begging and pleading. People in pain and agony. Preacher, you shouldn't preach like that and scare my people. I hope they're scared to death. I hope they're afraid to die lost.
Bless
him, Jesus. And it's an easy thing to do. It's one of the easiest things you'll ever do is die lost. Because all you have to do to die lost, what are you talking about, preacher? Lost. What is that? That, well, you know what being lost is. If I took a helicopter and we set it down without about... within about 10 foot of the ground, somewhere up here in the tops of the Smoky Mountains, and I kicked you out of it, you'd be lost.
Amen.
You wouldn't have a clue where you were, which direction to head, which way to go, or how to get out of that place on your own with nothing. That's what you're going to be in hell. Lost. There in darkness. You know what happens? If you were up there in the Smoky Mountains, after a while it turned dark where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's how it is in hell. It's eternal darkness forever and ever. It's what the Bible says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire. There's a fire in hell. Did you know that? But let me tell you about that fire. It's not like the campfire. It's not like the fires that we light at the pageant that the shepherds stand around or the wise men. Some of you have used butane before. Have you ever lit one of those butane tanks? And when you first light it up, it's a big orange flame. But you tune that down, don't you? And when you turn that knob and you tune that down, that orange flame becomes a dark blue. You know why that is? Because that fire is hotter. That fire is hotter than that orange flame. That's what hell's going to be. Darkness and a fire that burns for eternity. And you're going to be it.
That's it.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
If I'm well, preacher, I'm scared. I was too. You're looking at the most timid boy that ever lived in Cobb County, East Tennessee.
Listen.
We were taught respect. And if Marty happened to be talking to J.D. Strange, little Mike was to stand still and be quiet until they asked me what I wanted.
Amen.
I didn't come running up and say, hey, wait a minute. Because I knew what I'd get. Backward. You couldn't have paid me to have got up and tried to set anything in church. That was me. Well, that's me, preacher. I don't want to do anything to draw attention to myself. Don't worry about what anybody else around you thinks.
Amen.
Because if you die lost, you're going to go to that awful place called hell.
Amen.
That I just told you about.
Amen.
And guess what? There's a whole, I don't know how many we got here. We got a good number for weeks to die. And I'm glad everybody's here.
Amen.
And there's a whole crowd of people in this sanctuary that don't want you to die lost.
That's right.
There's a whole crowd of people in this sanctuary.
Yeah, come on, man.
Bless him, Lord.
That would kneel down beside you.
Yeah, come on.
And pray and beg the God they know. Mm-hmm. Beg the Savior that saved their soul from hell. Yeah. You see, there's only two states for a man, woman, boy, or girl. You're either lost or you're saved.
Yeah.
How do I get to that saved part, preacher? Now, you boys, here's some deacons right here. Please pray for me for the next 2 or 3 minutes. I'd like to preach this word our lost boys and girls, men and women, can understand.
Bless him.
There's only two states for a man, woman, boy, or girl. You're either lost or you're saved. And if you've never asked Jesus to save you, if you've never felt that condemnation on the inside and cried out and asked Jesus, please save me. Now listen, you don't have to say the words I say. And as a matter of fact, I don't think that holds much credence. But you have to say the words that you need to say to reach Jesus and have him reach down for you.
Amen.
Is that right?
Bless him, Lord.
I've heard all kinds of testimonies. People say all kinds of different prayers, and it really doesn't matter as long as you want salvation more than anything.
Amen.
I've heard people make this testimony. Said they were sitting way back in the church, and Satan fighting with all that he could fight until they got enough courage to take one step. I've heard their testimony, how they went down to the altar and how they prayed, but in their heart they believed that first step was all it took.
Amen.
And it is. And I'm going to preach this to you. Jesus won't jerk you up by the hair of the head and save you. He won't make you be saved. It's not the army. It's not the Navy, the Air Force, or the Marines. Jesus works on a voluntary basis. But if you want him in your life, you have to ask him. The Bible says ask and you shall receive. If you don't want to be lost, the Bible said he is the light of the world. Ask. And you shall receive.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I know we got a lot to do tonight, but the Lord's going to want me to preach this, so that's what I'm going to do.
Bless him, Lord.
He said, I am the light of the world. Genesis, we read about the light. A greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. Preacher, that's the sun and the moon. No. That's Jesus and his church.
Amen.
And let me relay this to you. I know we've got a lot of good organizations to do a lot of good things. The only organization that Jesus is coming back for is the church.
Amen.
His bride. That's the one he recognizes. Boys, and there ain't nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
Oh, that was weak. Come on now.
Amen.
This is the church that prayed for you when you were lost.
Amen.
This is the church that teaches your children about Jesus and salvation. This is the church that saves the praises of your Savior. This is the church where the gospel is still welcome. There is nothing wrong with the church.
Amen.
Jesus.
Bless you.
You can pick at me all you want, and you'll find fault, and you'll be telling the truth when you talk about it.
That's right.
But there's nothing wrong with my spiritual mother.
Amen.
You want to get me angry? I know. Lisa knows my mama. And she's a little off the wall. And she says what she thinks. And I couldn't be critical of her. But you better not be.
Amen.
She's my mother. How would you like for me to talk about your mother? Even if the words I said were true. Even if I opened the pages of the Newport Plain Talk and there was your mother's name in black and white, and it said truthfully, charged for this, that, or the other. And you may say, yeah, that's true, but on the inside, it hurt, wouldn't it? It'd break your heart, wouldn't it, for somebody to say something about your mother? This is her, and I love her. So just keep your wagon tongue to yourself. Amen. Because she's the only hope your brothers and sisters, your mamas and daddies, your children have of eternal salvation. She's the only hope they have not to die lost.
Amen.
That's pretty stout.
Bless you.
You've been there, ain't you?
Yeah.
I believe you are just staying right on that.
That's right.
To die lost is real easy. Only two states for a man, lost and saved. To be saved, all you got to do is want to not go to hell.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
When I asked Jesus to save me, the thought of going to heaven never crossed my mind. I never thought about the streets of gold or the gates of pearl or the walls of jasper. I never thought about my grandma or grandpa being in heaven. But I knew where I was going because I was lost. I knew where I was going because I was lost, and I had heard them say, lost people go to hell. What an awful statement to make. And people say it in this day and age and life at it. Shame on you if you do. There are people that, listen, I try to love everybody. There's some people I have a little bit harder time with that than others. But guess what? I wouldn't wish hell on my worst enemy on their worst day when they said the very worst thing they could say about me if they tried to take a gun and shoot me. I wouldn't wish hell on them because it's that awful place that you go to for eternity. Don't go there. Don't die lost.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Now, we read about a man that went there. We read about a man that had a lot of money.
Man, come
he
on,
could
man.
Buy anything he wanted. He wore the finest. He fired sumptuously. He could eat anything he wanted to. He could wear anything he wanted to. He could do anything he wanted to. But the one thing he really needed to do, he didn't. And you know what happened as a result? He died lost.
Yes, he did.
He died lost. And this is what Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, says about this man. It says he was rich. And it said, the rich man died also. And the very next line that we read about this man, it says, in hell, he lift up his eyes. I don't know when the scripture was written. I'd imagine 2,000 plus years ago. The Bible still says, in hell, he lift up his eyes. How many kids we got here that go to school? Raise your hand if you go to school. All right. Do you study English? All right. Then you know what a verb is. A verb is a word that shows action. Right?
Amen. Come on now.
All right. We know at the end of a verb, sometimes it has, don't get lost on me, old folks. At the end of a verb, sometimes it has the letters ED. Have you seen that? What does that mean? That means it was in the past. That means it happened, and now it's over with. The verb in this sentence, inhale, he lift up his eyes. The verb is lift. L-I-F-T. Does it have an E-D at the end? No, it doesn't. So what does that mean? That means that man who died lost is still in hell and he's still lifting up his eyes this very instant, and he will be for eternity. Why? Because he died lost. Was it because he was rich? No. Was it because he was mean? No. Was it because that he didn't give to charity? No. Was it because he didn't give the crumbs that fell off his table to the beggar Lazarus? No. It was because he was lost. It was because he never asked Jesus. Woo! To be his Savior.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless.
You don't have to. We like to think of mean people being hell. There are lots of good people there.
That's right.
You know why? Because they died lost.
That's right.
They went a lifetime. Let me tell you something. Young folks, I remember being these boys' age. I remember being those girls and boys' age. And those back there, I remember that. That was yesterday. Here's today.
Yeah.
It happens that quickly. You get old.
Yeah.
Your blonde hair turns gray. Then it falls out up here. And the things that you used to could remember. Just like that. I used to could remember phone numbers. I had a sharp mind. And now I can't remember my name most of the time. I have a hard time remembering what I had for breakfast.
Yes, him, Lord.
That's how quickly time gets away. It's just a vapor. Is that Bible?
Yes.
It's just a vapor. You know what a vapor is? Here's some more schoolwork, boys and girls. Three states of matter. You know that? Liquid, solid, and a gas or a vapor. You can touch a solid, can't you? This pew that you're sitting on is solid. I can put my hand on it. A liquid, I could run a glass of water out of the water fountain. I can touch the liquid. I can put my finger down in it. I can feel it. I can feel its coolness. I can feel it surround and cool the skin on my finger. But a vapor, I just can't grasp. I can't hold it in my hands. No matter how hard I get it in there and I try to squeeze, it's gone. That's your life. It just vanishes. It goes by so quickly. And if you're not careful, you'll spend day after day, minute after minute, consumed with the things of this world, thinking about what you'll do tomorrow, or what school's going to be like this year, or what you're going to do down at the playground, or how you're going to play basketball, and your life's going to be overwhelmed, and Satan's going to compel you day after day after day with thoughts that'll consume your mind, and before you know it, you're an old man like me, and you're still alive. And if he gives you another day, it's by his grace. Oh, that you trust Jesus and call on his name and he'd save your soul.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Now, I could ask you, well, here we go. Do you want to die lost? And you're going to say, no. Do you want to die lost? And you'd say, no. Do you want to die lost? And you'd say, no. Do you want to die lost? And you'd say, no. And if I asked Bobby, he'd say, no. And if I went all the way around the church, there's not a single person in this church that would want to die lost. Right. Nobody wants to go to hell. and yet it's full, and it's enlarged its borders, and more and more and more are going there every day. And guess what? There's not room for you, but they'll squeeze you in too if you die lost.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
If you die lost, there's no mercy for you in hell.
That's right.
The man I was telling you about in Luke chapter 16, beginning of verse 19, asked for a drop of water. That don't sound like much, does it? Did he get it?
No.
No. He asked to get out. Did he get out?
No.
No. He asked for somebody to go warn his family not to come. Do you love your family?
Amen.
Do you? You love mom and dad? And you may argue and fuss and fight with brothers and sisters, but you just might as well admit it. You love them too, don't you?
Amen.
This place was so bad, he did not want his brothers and sisters to go there. He said, would you send somebody down to my father's house to warn my five brethren not to come to this awful place?
Yeah.
Guess what? He didn't realize it. Somebody had already been sent. Jesus. He had already been sent. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And I know. You preaching, brother, you ever been like that? Ever been made fun of? The world considers it foolishness, but it's salvation unto them that believe.
Amen. Amen.
You know why I'm preaching at Dutch Bottoms? It's not for money. You know why I'm preaching at Dutch Bottoms? It's not so my name will be on the sign. It's not so my picture will be in the paper. It's not so WATE will come and film us and I'll be on the TV. I'm preaching so you will not be lost.
Amen.
That's the whole point of my preaching. And if I'm preaching for any other reason, it's in vain. If I die lost, if you die lost, are you listening to me right now? If you die lost, hell will be your home. You love mom and dad? I'd never want to let my mom and dad down.
No.
But if you want to hurt mom and dad more than anything, die lost.
That's good. Yeah.
Go to that awful place with no testimony of conversion.
Yeah.
With no evidence of salvation. With nothing for them to pin any hope on at all that you ever made an effort to call on Jesus to the saving of your soul. Let me tell you what it'll do to your mom and dad. It'll break their heart.
Amen.
If I die lost, if you die lost, you're in for an eternity of torment,
right,
and pain, and heartache. How do you know, preacher? I base what I'm preaching to you from the King James Version Bible. And it says, where there shall be weeping. Now that's a word we don't use much in this modern day. What does the word weeping mean?
Crying.
Crying, can't stop, boo-hooing. Just tears flowing and you can't cut them off continuously forever and ever and ever. Where there shall be weeping and gnashing. That's another word we don't use in this modern day.
What does that mean? What is this? You ever been bitten? A lot of times kids will go through a phase about the time they're 2 years old. And they'll nail you. My wife used to run daycare. And they'll nail you, and it hurts. Now imagine that over and over and over, and you're going to a place. You ever been in a crowd? I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about a crowd where you are shoulder, where there is no space. Imagine just being shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, as tight as you could be. Somebody standing right behind you. Somebody standing right in front of you. Surrounded on every side in darkness. And it gets worse. Did you know that? Revelations calls this place the bottomless pit.
Amen.
Come on, man.
We all like to have our preferences, don't we? What we like to eat, what we like to do, what we want to watch on TV, what we want to wear. Guess what? There'll be no control on your part in hell. You'll be helplessly falling breast to breast, shoulder to shoulder, packed in there, burning. For heaven, will preacher, I'll burn up. No. What's worse is Christ will give you a body where you cannot die. All you'll feel is pain for eternity, on and on forever. Do you want to die lost or do you want to be saved?
Amen.
Yeah, there'll be tears there. If you don't want to cry for eternity, don't die lost.
Amen.
Because when you go to heaven, when you're saved, you go to heaven. And I know I could preach this way up above your head, but that's not what I want to do. I want to preach to the level that everybody can understand what I'm talking about.
That's right.
If you ask Jesus to save you, this is what Revelations has to say. It says that he will wipe away all tears from your eyes.
Amen.
You want more good news, more reason not to die lost? If you want to be saved, the Bible says all former things shall pass away. Behold,
amen,
all things are new.
Amen.
That means no more dying.
Yeah.
The morticians will be out of business. The funeral homes will be out of business. Lisa, you won't have to serve any more patients. The doctors, the nurses, the nurse practitioners, the CNAs,
amen,
they'll all be out of business.
Amen.
Because everybody will have a glorified body.
Amen.
Preachers, you won't need this.
Mm-mm.
Because you'll be in its presence.
Amen.
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 You won't have time to preach anymore.
That's right.
We'll just shout.
Amen.
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 Is that where you want to go, or do you want to die lost? In case you didn't know it, I'm preaching to you. Well, preacher, I've been a member of church for 40 years. I was saved when I was a little boy, when I was a little girl. Yeah. And every service, John says, do you know somebody that's lost? And up our hand goes. Do you want those people to go to hell? Do you want those people to die lost? What are we doing about it? Are we showing them Christ? Are we loving them?
Amen.
Are we telling them about the goodness of God?
Bless him, Lord.
I'm afraid in this modern day with our modern religion and our modern churches, we're telling them love, 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 love. Oh, goody, 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 goody. And we never hear about hell.
That's right. It's it.
Friend, that's the point. This is not a social organization. This is not a method for you to climb the social ladder and look better in the eyes of men. This is not a meeting for you to gather business with your natural business. This is a place that has the mercy seat and holds the door between heaven and hell.
Amen.
This is the place where men, women, boys, and girls escape hell.
Yeah.
If you don't want to die lost, you need to pray and ask Jesus to save you.
Amen.
Now, I said my little thought for tonight is if I die lost. If you never ask Jesus to save you, you can take the if out because you'll die lost. If you all you have to do to die lost is you sit real still. All you have to do to die lost is you just sit right there and you don't say a word. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, church will be over, and guess what? You'll go home lost. You'll get in a car lost. And who knows if you'll make it to Newport lost.
Right.
Because you could die between here and Newport.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Miss Clara, just a couple of weeks ago, I guess about a week and a half ago, there was a young man on a motorcycle, went right past Miss Clara's house. I'm sure he had plans. I'm sure he had things he was going to do. But guess what? That motorcycle struck another vehicle, and that young man died. I don't know the young man personally. I don't know whether he was saved or whether he was lost. The whole point of me mentioning this to you is that that could be you. Mm-hmm. You don't know when death is going to be there.
That's it.
All you know is that you don't need to die lost. Because if you do, now did you learn anything tonight?
Amen.
I hope you didn't. I hope the part of this message that you take away from the sanctuary tonight is not about past tense verbs or about states of matter. I hope it's that if I die lost, I go to hell.
Amen.
It's true.
That's English. That's science. But who knows what the next 100 years hold if we stick around. Somebody might change that. We might call that something else. But hell is eternal.
Right.
And when men die lost, they go there. When women die lost, they go there.
Amen.
When boys die lost, they go there. When girls die lost, they go to hell. Look around you. There are people praying for you.
Amen.
There are people in this church praying that you won't die lost.
Amen.
Give me one more minute. I remember a Bible school, and I believe it was the very same Bible school, if I'm not mistaken. It was Thursday night. Debbie Reed sat right here. And Elise, her granddaughter, sat on her lap. And that little girl got in trouble. And she did not want to die lost. And with her sitting on Mama's lap, she prayed that Jesus would not let her die lost. She prayed that Jesus would save her.
Amen.
And he did, sitting on Mama's lap right here where this brother's sitting on this pew. Mm-hmm. And in the same Bible school, a mama and a grandmother was concerned about another little girl. And she sat about right here. And the Lord troubled her. And she prayed. She didn't even go up to the altar. Did you know you don't have to be right up there to be saved?
No.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done them that have a broken heart and will save such as be of a contrite spirit. You know how many people have to be present for you to be saved? You and Jesus.
That's
right. Jenna prayed right here. You know how she got to that point? Somebody prayed for her.
Amen.
You know how Elise got to that point? Somebody prayed for her.
Yeah.
You know who it was? It's the church.
That's right.
And guess what, little sinner? The church is praying for you too. Are you glad they prayed for you, Jenna?
Yes.
Amen. I want you to know you've got a daughter you need to be very, very proud of. She's growing in the Lord, and I've seen it personally. And I'm thankful for it. She's a blessing to me, and she's a blessing to this church. Not just her, all our good folks, all.
Amen.
Guess what? All our old folks are too.
Amen.
If I die lost, are you going to die lost? Or are you going to go to heaven? Preacher, I don't know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Search the Scripture. How can I find out? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation. If you're not sure, ask Jesus.
Amen.
Ask Jesus. I have great confidence in our parents, said Dutch Bottoms. But it won't do you any good to ask Mama, to ask Daddy. Because they can't look in that heart. But Jesus knows.
Amen.
And He'll save if you ask Him.